Tonight, Rodney was just talking about, you know, can we do something on worship? And I thought, yes, that would be nice, but it would be nice to do something on worship that's different than probably what you normally do on Sundays. So we just want to go in a completely different course on that, and just to really show you other ways of worshiping God, because I feel, because I'm a musician, I've been doing it for so many years, that, you know, the only thing that we interpret about worship all the time is that we get up and have a big hoorah Henry, and then hop down, and that's worship, and that's, you know. And so whenever we have a gathering like this, we think, oh, we'll have some worship. It's like, yes, we should, but not necessarily singing. And so your immediate question is, well, for those who haven't experienced this, they sort of think, well, what's that all about? And that's the reason why we want to do that. So again, just looking at Christianity and just looking at God and saying, you know, let's look at this differently again. And, you know, maybe you can show us more about yourself this way. And which is why I was speaking a little bit about the philosophies, not trying to stir up any political intrigue here from my talk this afternoon. In fact, I was overjoyed just a little while ago. I was on the internet and, you know, they send you three little news bulletins, and this one said, soft tissue links Tyrannosaurus rex to modern chicken. And I thought, now let's just think about that for a second, you know. You can see Oshawa coming in on this one, can't you? Poor old local farmer coming in because it's got its possibilities of a modern chicken being a Tyrannosaurus rex, you know. Big chicken chasing the farmer's wife all around the countryside, you know. You're not quite catching on here, are you? I mean, this is... It's almost like the scientist saying one thing, that the Tyrannosaurus rex and the chicken are much the same thing. It's like, you're pulling my leg. Kentucky Fried Chicken would have a heyday with this one, won't they? Imagine that, coming into Kentucky Fried Chicken. T-Rex leg. Bit hard to deep fry it, but otherwise it's... Oh dear, I'm just settling down. You always have to talk sort of about nothing for a while until you sort of get used to up to the front. Peter does that really well.
It just goes on and on.
It does, yes. And you have to pull yourself together. And I'm not sure whether I'm looking at you or reading. No, I've got rid of the red spot now. So, this thing about worship... Probably if you've been to any of the music seminars that we've talked about, you would have heard me at some stage saying that Abraham goes up onto the mountain and he didn't take his guitar. He took a knife with him. And much about what we talk about, even today, about, you know, suffering and love and all of that, the knife has to come out. And this is worship, because that's what, when you dedicate yourself to God, you know, we bring ourselves to this place. And when I was talking about... project management and all of that, I can seriously say that, you know, at one stage I had 14 jobs on at the same time, and they were finishing with every 2 weeks, and it was in retail, and you had to have them completed exactly, because all the advertising is linked to that end day, and so you're under tremendous pressure that the contractors are finished and everything is all set, that the shops are fully merchandised, they're ready to go for the opening day on your for your advertising, and there's no way, there's thousands of dollars spent in this, and so your curtains if you miss this day, and so there's a great amount of stress going in this, and you would wonder why God would put me in that situation, because I thought it was great, and that's where I felt he was wanting me to go, and that was part of the business. But of course, in those places, you come under such pressure that you have things like 3 o'clock horrors, if you haven't experienced that, as you wake up about 3 o'clock, like this, thinking, God, I've just forgotten to do something, you know, and you just panic for the next 3 hours until you wake up and get on with the job and sort it all out, and it's amazing what the mind does. But in these places, I also learnt over the years, in other cases as well, to come to a place that's incredibly important to worship God, and it's very hard to worship God when your head is just like doing this, which mine was doing all of the time. In fact, Telecom, I remember, sat down with me, because they were a good account with me, and they said, your job is all about your head, isn't it? And I said, yes, it is. And they said, you know, we've learned something, and this thing that you learn to do is that all of the top executives would actually put on their togs and some goggles and a snorkel, and they would go out in the water and they'd just float face down. And they would stop their mind to stop their mind from spinning, from all the thoughts that are going through their head, simply because there's just so much activity up in here and it needs to be slowing down. So I would go down this road and I would look at this too, because it's very, very biblical. Very biblical thing to do. And we would probably mention talking about this when it comes to meditating and stuff like that. But if you're under such pressure, learning to come into this place is extremely difficult, because you're just wanting to get the job on and these thoughts are continually crowding. But I believe God was showing me, for reasons why I'm also telling you now, is that I experienced how to work your way through these, how to try to just stop your mind from spinning that way, to get a control of yourself and come into the presence of God. How do you do that? You know, just this way, almost like floating in the water, looking down and seeing, not doing anything else, not thinking, oh, that's nice, but just seeing what you see. So if in the case of, just imagine me sitting there looking in the water and I'm looking down, either I'm seeing the sand or I'm seeing the rocks and watching the fish and think of nothing else. That's it. Just look, seeing what you're seeing. And then it reminded me when I had actually sat years ago with one of my pastors, and he had sat me down in a chair and says, I want to show you something. And he showed me the same, virtually the same technique, except you just virtually sat in a seat and you sat nice and square in your seat and you brought yourself into a quietness before God. Most of us as Christians just don't do this. Our whole lives are incredibly busy. You have radios going, TVs going, and if you've got three kids, it's all going. Computers, you know, wife's cooking, there's noise, it's all, and trying to come into a place quiet before God is virtually impossible. But you've got to work through these things. And so I want to take you through some of these little things, and the reason being, Paul, it was in prison. And and he got to a place that even though he's in prison, he's praising God, because he can bring himself to this place to say, God is in control no matter where I am, no matter what is happening. And I had to learn the same technique in the project management, that God is in control. Even though I feel that I'm just almost out of control here. And there are many times when you hit bureaucracy and councils and things and they start putting the hammer down, you know that that's going to stop the end date of you finishing, and so you come into a place of panic. And I remember many times driving down from Auckland to Hamilton here, and I'm sitting there going, God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please, oh God, please, 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 get through this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, you've got to get through this. And you go, stop your head. And you go, stop it. Goes, just stop it, Kerry. Stop it. You know, and like, Lord, you are in control. And it's like, no, he's not. Yes, yes. I don't care what happens from here. And then I brought myself into a place of saying, God, I don't care what happens to me. I could lose my job. I could lose this contract. They could throw liquidation damages at me. They could do all sorts of things and make my life completely miserable. But whatever happens in this place, I have to bring myself to a place where I don't care what they do to me. I just want you to be in control right now of this one situation. Lead me through, and I have to, at this stage, take my hands off. I pray to you now, and I'm taking my hands off. You are God, and you are in control, and I know this is completely about faith and nothing else. And so to bring yourself to this place is that you just simply, like now, just sit up straight, because it's probably the best position for you at the moment. If you can do that, just sit up straight. And if you like, you can put your hands on your knees, but just get comfortable so that you don't have to move too much. And I tried all sorts of different things. I heard ones about playing audio tapes through your head while you're trying to sleep in the motel, and that never worked. You wake up and it's like, gah! Noise! Stop! And to bring your place to yourself to an absolute quietness before God. And this is worship. And what you're going to say to yourself, and you can close your eyes now, because I want you at this stage just to listen, and you will hear nothing except me. And I want you to just listen to the quietness. Now, you're here to listen to a seminar to listen about worship and the other thing that we're sort of going to talk to you about. So you've dedicated these next 2 hours or so to God. Now, in the case of love, of what we're talking about, you're now to bring yourself into this place where you can say virtually the words that I've been saying, Lord, I'll do anything for you right at the stage. That'll be him. You see how it comes in? You see how at any stage noise will come in and try to ruin whatever you're doing. I'll guarantee that something like that will happen every time. But you've got to bring yourself to this place before God. Now breathe in deep and then breathe out. Just relax and breathe in and then breathe out. And then do something that you can make this up, whatever you like, but what I used to like doing was to sit in there, and if there was something that I was worried about, I was fearful about, anxious, something that was this thing that was going through my head, if you breathe in the Holy Spirit and then breathe out that feeling, breathe out that concern, almost as like you're expelling it out of your system and saying, you know, Holy Spirit, I want you to come in, I want you to take control, and I'm breathing this thing out, I'm letting it go. That's what you're trying to do. And you just take a big breath in, and then you breathe out. And you breathe in, and you breathe out. You just relax. Now you're before God. You're coming before God this way, and it's a good thing to practice and practice and practice this. And breathe in. Make sure you're just having nice breaths. Don't make your breath shallow. Just breathing in deep and then breathing out. Now, this is no silliness, but it is just simply bringing yourself to be before God, because the logics of it is, if God is in control, that's the end of the story. And what you're virtually doing here is you're letting God have control, not your mind. Which is why we need to practice it more and more often. Now you can add to this, and I'll add a little bit to it, and meditation is a very biblical thing, and you can bring in a verse like this, and I'll talk of Psalm 1 right here, and I'll say, and you'll say this to yourself, and you'll think about these words, and let them just sift through your mind. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you think about that, and you let it just sift through you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you let those words just go through, just thinking about them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And now you start to see, hopefully, the Holy Spirit enlightening you on some of the things that we've talked about, philosophies, and the way you think about life, and the way that you think about love. Blessed is this man who walks not in the counsel, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You see, love edifies. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Can you make your delight, and I ask you this question while you're in this place, can you make your delight in the law of the Lord? And you breathe in, And you breathe out. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see, this is worship, but it's different. Because you're meditating on this. You're meditating on his laws. And what are those laws? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. And now we're just going to change the angle of this a little bit, just to help you a little bit more. But I want you just to stay in this place. It's before you and God. Can you bring yourself before God to meditate this way, to let go? God is in control. Relationships, work, financial burdens. And now we're just going to help you a little bit more, and you might start getting pictures. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'll repeat that. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You think about that. Should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. You have a season. One day this fruit will come before you. Your fruit. Whose leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's you. Because you meditate on the word day and night. You have learned to bring yourself now before God in this way. To let God take control. Let your worries go. And breathe it out. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe out those anxieties. godly and not so. But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The godly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And your people are not to be ungodly. So while you sit here worshipping God the way you do, you're letting go. You're letting God take control. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that's a promise. And it's a promise that you can lean on. You've given this up to God. You're letting him have control. And he's saying that you will not wither. You shall prosper. It's not the way that we think it's prospering. It's letting go and letting God make us prosper. He's the thing that will build this thing. Just letting the love of God pour into you. He loves you. He wants your ways to prosper, not for your leaves to wither. See, we can worship all sorts of different ways. It's just a matter of somebody showing us and then learning to do it. What do you think you saw? What did you see? Anybody want to say something they saw while they were in this place? You're all too sleepy and relaxed. That's the whole point. It's wonderful. Come on up here and just one at a time, just tell us what you saw. What was the Holy Spirit saying to you?
Well, nothing, but I saw it, you know, like Superman in the sky. And I was just floating around, and it's a bit like a walk-in dance with the music, is how I felt it was.
Okay.
Yeah. You're wonderful.
Wonder Woman.
I saw a throne, a very solemn, straight-up throne, and on the seat, it looked like it was a raised, padded seat, but it just opened up like that, like a bud opening out, and out of the seat rose like rays of light, and that, and you were soaring. The light went over again the earth, and it, as it went up, I sort of felt the same thing. We're coming into the presence of the Lord. It lifted us higher. Where we were there trying to worship God on that level, it lifted us up into a new level where we could float into the presence of the Lord. Yeah.
I'd like to say that, you know, when we started this, I was actually getting you to the place where it was between you and God. It was just you and Him, okay? So obviously, when you're looking at these things that you're getting, it's really about you. Not about everybody else, but that was you. You know what I'm saying? That was you near that throne, seeing all that you saw. It was about you and God, not about all of us. That's what the whole thing was about. And so we come in these great stressful times and we worship God. And then as we bring ourselves in this place of peace, knowing that He's in control, we start seeing things and we start experiencing His love as He just pours down onto us. And it's not about what you're off to do, it's about you. Now, somebody else, I think, over here had something. Did you come forward? Yeah, you come on up too. You can. One other? Okay, you come on up too, and then we'll have just you three and go from there.
Just all the distractions were slowly going away, and then came into a place where I could really focus, a place of peace, where I couldn't see anything. It was just, you know, real peace and real serenity, I suppose. Mm. It was really nice. Different.
Good.
It was different.
It is different.
He took me to a place, to the most beautiful meadow I've ever been. And in this meadow was a stream and a very, very strong tree. He taught me how to dance in this meadow, and he got me to sit by the tree, and hundreds of children came running. Oh. And I was in the paddock dancing and playing with the children, and then he took me back to the tree and he brought my husband there.
And what do you think the children were?
I'm an early childhood educator.
You what?
I'm an early childhood educator. I think the children were my children.
Yes, I would say that, because it was, you were speaking about Psalms, right? Mm. About their tree planted by the water. And it says here, it brings forth its fruit in its season.
Yeah.
See, I think the Holy Spirit was saying to you that you're going to be very fruitful. And they were all of the children that are coming under your wing.
And there was a peace about it.
Yeah.
And when he brought my husband, there was a peace about it when my husband walked through the meadow by himself, and it was, God was just saying, you're going to be all right. And then I got him saying, I'm calling everyone. And then he showed thousands of people walking through this massive doorway.
It's good.
And I was just looking at it. That's
excellent.
It.
My heart is beating here. He took me to the mountains, and it's just snow everywhere, and I'm floating ever so slowly and lightly, and it's peaceful there. And also he showed me water, crystal clear water, and the snow was pure white and so peaceful and warm. It was warm there. I didn't feel the cold. Beautiful and peaceful. Thank you, Lord.
That's good. So you can see how valuable something like that becomes when you're under stress in your job situation and you need to just walk away from the office and you need to bring yourself before God and say, look, you're in control. It saved me many, many times from going off my head and losing it completely, because I just, you know, the pressure. And then you come into this place. right, Kerry, I'm with you. You're not going to drop it. And, you know, in that year that we refurbished all of those shops in that time, we never failed once. We got the whole thing. Everything went off. Bang, 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 bang. Everyone. And I sit there and I look back at it and I think, that's amazing. Because that really, if you've ever been on the extreme, that was the extreme. And for the point that when that contract finished, I ended up picking up other contracts, of course, but in the project management side, it's so stressful that I was blowing blood vessels in my eye, and that's when I knew it was time to pull away from the whole thing, that it was becoming too physically dangerous for me. But nonetheless, I had learned these things. And I learned a lot of that when I was in the desert in Sudan, in the middle of nowhere. I remember the truck was way down there, and I climbed up this mountain, and I stood on this mountain. And when you're in the desert, especially in the middle of Sudan, there is absolutely nothing. There's no sound, there's no wind, there's nothing. And you sit there straining your ears to hear a sound. And I understand completely why Jesus extracted himself away from people to come away and to come before God. And he did this in these special places. And I remember hearing of another musician, Dave Dobbin. He went to the Sudan and he said exactly the same thing. And I was watching the TV program and I thought, that's it. That's exactly the same thing. The desert has a wonderful experience, a depth of silence. It is the noisiest silence you've ever heard. And that's a peculiar thing to say, isn't it? But the noise of silence is so strong that you can't help but feel the presence of God. And you can pick that up, and by coming into this place, as I'm saying, just meditating on the word, you pull out a verse and we go from there. I wish you'd stop sneezing. Would you like to go outside? You are distracting me. Excuse me. Bless him, Jesus.
Help him, Jesus.
Rodney reminded me when we were in the Philippines once, he had this elbow, this arm, the shoulder that was, and he couldn't get his shirt off because it was so painful to him. And so he was saying, could you help me off with the singlet? And I was saying, no, I'm not going to help you. Get your own singlet off. Sitting there trying to get this thing off. And he's dancing around the room trying. The Philippines was a wonderful experience because we ended up staying at this place and this pastor's house, and there weren't enough beds, and so the only bed was left was the double bed upstairs. And Rodney and I go up there and I look at it and he goes, well, what's wrong with you? And I said, there's no way I'm sleeping on that bed with you. There'd be a definite line down the middle, but no, it was too much for me, I'm afraid. I was going to sleep on the floor. I didn't care. You have wonderful experiences like this. How did I get onto that? So this is the place of coming. It's different worship, isn't it? You see, we often go into our churches and we think that worship is about coming up to this place of hyperventilation and bouncing all over the room. But it seems to me it's the exact opposite. You'll often talk to musicians who have been in the music side of worship for a long time and saying, why can't we just be silent? You know, even the musicians call out for it. But many times I find people don't know what to do with silence. And you can be quiet within a church and people are sort of like, we were going to, is it just going to, let's get on with it. You know, we've done it a little bit, let's get on with it. It's like, no, this is precious. It's precious silence, but we don't know what to do with it most of the time until you get taught. And that's why I'm trying to show you there is other ways to do it. Extract yourself. My best time is still 3 o'clock in the morning. It is my favorite time of the day. And I can honestly say that I feel like I'm one of these big spiritual giants when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Yes, I'm up at 3 praying. It's like, not likely, but I am still in bed. But I am awake and I'm saying, hello, Lord. You know, I know exactly what this time is. It's the quietest time when there's no kids, everybody's snoozing, and I don't feel under pressure, and I just like, and I just let the Lord start talking to me. And it's precious. And we need to do that again and again. And he does. And so from the music, we found that music helps a lot. And that's why when we talk about prophetic music, we want to do a similar one more. Do you want to do one more, shall we? Okay, we'll just change it a little bit because I'm going to get Peter. He doesn't know this. He's going to, Peter, can you find a verse? He's looking at me like, what, are you kidding me? Oh, mate, come up here. Well, you're just going to work them through. I'll give you a few seconds. You know, you're a really spiritual pastor sort of thing. And just think of some nice psalm that people can sort of meditate on. I'd be easy one. Well, it doesn't, you can be anything you like. It can be any verse that you think is worth. All right, well, shall I make it easy? Somebody's got a verse that they think would be a nice meditation. Huh? 23rd. Well, that was easy.
Okay. Is that your Bible?
I'll change it. 121. How about 121? Just to make it even more confusing. Now, we'll sit at 121. That was a good one, but I think like a little bit too common. Not quite so common. 121. All right.
And what do you want me to do?
Up here, same as I did. You're going to bring these people to this place of worship. Now, it's probably more appropriate for you because you don't really have a big worship team, do you?
No, we don't have any.
There you go. So here's a problem straight away with a pastor who's trying to work his church through worship, and he doesn't even have a music team. So he's already got a problem, and so he's got to bring out the CDs to play, and you and I think, yeah, well, that's all right, but there are other ways. So now he's going to learn to get a handle of that, but I'm going to help him, and we're going to play a little bit with him, and you're just going to come back into this place. It's good to practice it. The more we practice it, the better we get, and Rodney's looking at his watch, so... Well, so when he gives you the final glare, you'll know when to stop. Are you all right with that?
Hello.
One last one. And then we'll just... So just bring yourself to that place again before God. Sometimes it takes about 3/4 of an hour to get right to the bottom of some of these issues I've found. Some of them really are sticky ones, and you just can't get rid of that niggle and come into that place of quietness before God until you've really sat there for 3/4 of an hour, got it out of your system. Takes some time.
Okay, let's just close our eyes. My eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Lift up your eyes to the hills. That's where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He will not let your foot slip, because he never slumbers and he never sleeps. The Lord will keep you from all harm, because he watches your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Was interesting, wasn't it? Who'd like to say something about that? I'll say something about that. You know, when I was reading that, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. And I began to just look at the words, and I don't know whether it was a prophetic thing or not. I just decided to change the words for some people in the room. Lift up your eyes to the hills from, that's where your help will come from. Your help will come from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's not going to let your foot slip. The Lord will keep you from all harm because he's watching over you. And I think that's an apt word for maybe some people here. I don't know. I think it's a good word for all of us, really. So did anybody see anything while we were doing that? Yeah? Do you want to come up with us and talk? There's a big line.
For me, it was a beautiful sandy path just wandering up through the hills with these great tall redwoods and pine trees at this... just growing at the side. The path was smooth, and at the very top, you know how you see the clouds and the rain, rays of sun coming down at sunset, and that to me was just God's presence. It was just amazing.
Well, mine ties in with the last one too. Not with the ladies, but with the previous one. Because in the previous one, when I had been walking by a river, and I'd actually lay down, and the 23rd Psalm did come into my mind at that time, and I was letting my hand float in water, and then all of a sudden I was looking up, and it was as though God was lifting my chin to keep on looking up. And this time I was going up the hill, and he had put his hand out and was helping me up. And at the same time, it's sort of that same lifting up thing came.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got a picture of the Lord's right hand, and it was in a silk garment, but it was red. Was a red silk garment, and it had gold trimming on the edges, and it was utter darkness, but he was putting out his hand, and in his hand were gold coins, diamonds, gems. And it reminded me of Isaiah 54, that your worth is above rubies. And I believe that's a word for some people here tonight, that your worth is above rubies. He loves you. You're more precious than those gemstones.
I just saw a great plain and hills surrounding the plain, and it was at dusk, and it got slowly darker, and I was walking in the grass on the meadows of these plains, and then it got very frightening, and it's as if evil was all around me, and I got frightened, and I looked up towards the hills, which were now nearly out of sight, and I saw like a vortex coming down of white light with blue in it, and it came down, and it was just like as if it was had a mirror image right around me, and like as if in the eye of a storm, and I was safe in the eye of the storm, was safe there where the light was, and wherever I moved, the light moved. And I felt security and comfort there, even though everything around me was whirling and going mad and dark and frightening. And at that stage, all of a sudden, my leg jerked three or four times there, and I felt pain going out of my toes. And God was saying to me that to be secure no matter what, because even healing and everything is in his hands. Don't be afraid of things that surround you and press in and try to squash you. He is there to protect you. Yeah.
Oh, come on. The Lord showed me a picture this time of spring. I saw the snow, but it was the snow. Most of the snow had gone. Water, the trees, the mountains, the hills, river, water, and deer. There was deer all over the place. Where I was in the bush somewhere, might have been Kaikoura. Yeah, it was just deer everywhere. And the psalm that came to me, I think it's Psalm 42, is it? About where the deer pants for the water brooks. So pants my heart.
The Lord showed me a lot of eggs. And they were in this paddock as well. All these eggs were in the paddock. And after a while, a blanket came down over the eggs. And then the Lord said that you will know that I am God. You will know that I will protect you and watch over you. And sometimes, and then I asked the Lord, oh, why eggs? And then he showed me that eggs, you can either be hard or you can be soft. And that's where some of us are today. We either have a hard heart or we have a soft heart, but God is still watching over us. Amen.
This is really interesting, eh? It's something that we all do, really, to a certain degree, and I'm not saying this because of what was said tonight, but often we get into the presence of God like this, and the Holy Spirit starts to talk to us. And more often than not, like even when I read that second time, more often than not, we say that it's for other people. And we sometimes miss what the Lord is trying to say to us. Us as an individual. And we portray it, you know, as something for others. And even, like I was saying that before, that you know, lift up your eyes to where your help comes from. I mean, that was a word for me. And we often miss it. Especially, actually, if you stand up the front every Sunday and speak to people. I think sometimes we just need to sit back and say, okay, Lord, what are you showing me? Is this actually me that you're wanting to speak to? And when he does that, we begin to learn that the Lord communicates with us a lot more than what we think for ourselves and not necessarily for other people. It's good, eh? I like that. Yeah, Rodney?
Am I going? Yes.
Oh, I've been so peaceful, I've got to get wound up again. Who's felt that peace? It's great, isn't it? You know, just be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes it's the hardest thing out just to sit still, isn't it, Jean?
I got in first.
And I was in charge of leading this last session. There's about 100 people there. And I made the mistake of asking God what he wanted to do in the meeting. And he said, I want you to go and tell the musicians their services will not be required. And it was one of those camps where they'd brought in special musicians. So I'd learnt to know God's voice, and I went to the leader of this musicians and I said, oh, just want to let you know that your services will not be required this morning. And she looked at me and she said, what do you mean, you don't want so many choruses? I said, no, I don't want any. What? You mean that you don't want us musicians to do anything? I said, yes, that's right, because God wants to show us another way. Well, she stormed off in a huff. I wasn't very popular at that point because, you know, often it becomes just a performance. And performance does not feed the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to demonstrate to people how that you do not have to have all of these aids to step into my presence. And I said, well, what do you want me to do, God? Because, I mean, I'm no singer, song leader, whatever. He said, I want you just to get the people to stand up, to lift their hands, and begin to worship me. And so I did. Start the meeting, I just explained to the people the Holy Spirit wanted to do something a bit different today. And if we would just stand up, lift our hands and begin to worship God, God was going to break through. And so I asked the people to stand, they put up their hands, they began to worship, and God broke through. It was just awesome. You see, sometimes, and I guess this is what a lot of what's been said today, as Christians we need to stop and think sometimes, what are we doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because you can get caught up in a hype just as though you're even the same at a sports venue. And we don't stop to think what we're doing. And I believe that in this environment, you see, we've stilled our spirit before God. We've come to know some things of God. God started to speak to people through pictures, through scripture. But, you know, I believe we can stand up now, lift our hands, and just begin to worship God, and I believe people are going to start prophesying. Shall we do it? Why not? Stand. Let's just raise your hands and just begin to worship God. Just begin to express your love and adoration to Jesus. If you want to sing to him, if you want to speak in tongues, if you want to praise him, just let your heart respond back to God in gratefulness and thankfulness for that peace, for that calmness. It is well with my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him. Just love him. Just exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, knowing that holy is he. Holy is he. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. God of love, come and fill us to overflowing more and more, that your love will permeate our being to make us more and more like you, Lord. Mould your character into us more and more, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we need you, yet we honour you. We bless you, we adore you. Christ the Lord. Chiaramandi kitabaranda bushundararatianda. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, just be free to worship him, to love him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we can begin to prophesy. What is prophecy? It's just speaking out love letters from Jesus to his people. Prophecy is an expression of the presence and love of Jesus in our midst for us. Thank you, Jesus. Let him speak to us now as a body. Let the eggs hear what the Lord's saying. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. I have loved you with an everlasting love, says your God. My love for you is everlasting. My love for you is strong. Yes, my love yearns to reach you, to draw you closer to me, even as has been spoken this day, that you might sit on my knee, that you might rest your head on my breast. Yes, that's who I am, says your God. I want to wrap my loving arms around you. I want to fill you more and more with the security of my love, so that those areas of your innermost being that have been lying down, that through my love, those areas will stand up. They will stand up and cause areas of your life to live that have lay dormant, and you will arise in a response to my love, and creative new things will come forth from your life, and you will see, and you will know, and you will experience things that you have not known before, because I'm awakening areas within you that have been dormant. Let my love reach even to the innermost parts of your being, says your God, because I love you with an everlasting love. Thank you, Jesus. Someone else, just pick it up, go with the flow. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Twas the blood that I poured out. It was not because the enemy overwhelmed me, but it was because I was victorious over the enemy, so that my blood would wash through this world. My blood would love you and cleanse you, to bring you into another realm, to bring you into another presence, so that my people would be able to withstand the enemy when he comes in the days ahead. My people, I call you to be strong in my love. For there's nothing else that will strengthen you but my love. There's nothing else that will protect you but my love. There's nothing else that will guide you but my love. Jesus. I say to you, my people, draw close to me, for the day and the hour is getting late, and I can see the winds and the clouds moving fast. And I say, my love is the only sanctuary that you need. Go forth in the security and the love that I offer you. I offer it to you with my whole life. Yes. I offered it to you on
Calvary. Thank you, Jesus.
I offer it to you tonight. overflow, and it will continue to overflow with joy, lots and lots of joy, with my love as well. And this love will spread to others as I continue to fill you up. And in this cup, do not turn from me, but stay with me. Lean on me, come to me, and I will continue to fill this cup that will never, ever, ever go dry.
My love constrains you, says the Lord, with an everlasting love. My heart, my arms hold you, says your God. And I say to you, my precious bride, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the turmoil that rages within. For I, your God, hold you with an everlasting love. And I am refocusing my bride at this time. And the turmoil shall not control you, says your God. But my love shall cause you to refocus as I bring my bride into a new place in the spirit realm, a place where she would have new authority, new power, a grace to go with the power, says your God. And I would even clothe her with robes, new robes, robes of righteousness, robes that are transparent, robes that are eternal, says your God. So hold my hand, says your God. Hold on to me and allow my love to cover you, to constrain you, to carry you into a new place, says your God. For it is a day of turmoil. It is a day of change. But I, your God, do not change. And I am calling you into a new place at this time. Do not be afraid of the turmoil. Do not be afraid of the changes and the transitions. For I am bringing you, my beloved bride, into a new place.
You are my friends because you do what I command you to do. I called and you answered and you said yes. Do not be afraid that you have not doing what I command you to do. Have I not commanded and have you not said yes to me? In your heart you said yes to me when I asked you to do difficult things, and therefore you are my friends. And ponder anew what I can do through you if you become my friend, and with my love I befriend you. It is my love that has come to you. It is my love that has softened your heart. It is my love that caused you to say yes when you could have said no. You could have said no, I will not do that. But you said yes to me. Therefore you are my friend. You are my closest friend. You are one that is closer to me than a brother, because I am your brother. I am your father. I am your God. I am your king. I am your God, very God. I am your friend. Believe it.
Amen. You want to prophesy to it? Go for it.
Fully amen. I believe that God also wants to say that he will supply all your needs. And we're not to look to the left or to the right, not to look here and there, but that God is supplying all your needs. And there's nothing that you need that he doesn't know about. There's nothing that you need that he hasn't supplied, that he is supplying all your needs. Everything that you've needed in times past, you've looked around and you've thought, where is God? Where is the God that should supply my needs? Well, God is there, and he is supplying everything that you need for today, everything that you need for tomorrow, everything that you need for your future that he has mapped out for you. God will supply all your needs. Look to him. Don't look to people, don't look to the things of this world, but look to God, and he will supply all your needs.
Don't look around you, but look to him, and he will draw those people who are like-minded. Just follow me.
Behold, I stand. I stand in the garden of the flames of fire. I am amethyst. I am beryl. I am lapis. I am gold. I am precious stones. Behold, I see. And I send you forth, refined, refined into a world that despises you, refined into a world that seeks to overcome you. I have overcome the world. My resources are yours. Call unto me, and I will respond. For I know the heartbeat of this nation. For I know that I have plans and purposes which will never ever be frustrated. In my garden, in that place of peace and security, in that place where I rule, I also rule where you are. I give therefore unto you, in like manner that I have imparted to my son, I give unto you all that you require. For I see what has been happening in this land, and it shall all draw to a close. And you have been called, each one of you, for I have called you. Some of you have not yet heard my voice. Some of you know what I'm saying, but you seek to close your ears. I am calling you, therefore, to relax as we have proceeded together to teach you this evening. Seek me in quietness and confidence.
Yes.
For I am there.
Thank you, Jesus.
I am there. I'm there in the wind.
Yes.
I am there in the deep recesses of the quietness of your heart. Seek me, and you will find me, and you will experience all that I have for you. For I have a task for each of you, and it shall never be frustrated. Therefore, take heart, for I am with you.
Yes.
I will sustain
you. Thank you, Jesus.
I will keep you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will frustrate all that the enemy is doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Him.